back to another episode of Tuning the Bow, a podcast where my friend Tim Rose and I discuss the discipleship aspect of parenting. And again, my name is Matthew Wilbanks, and I'm here with my good friend Tim Rose. Tim, how are you doing?
Man, I'm good, man. We just had our golf tournament for all of our many youth events this past weekend. And we raised $35,000. So that was a pretty good tournament. We were pretty happy with it. I personally golfed in it and was terrible. But tournament as a whole was very good. That money will get used for our upcoming youth camp and then our Disciple Now weekend. And most importantly, to my heart, is our mission trips coming up next year, which are to Louisiana and to Madrid, Spain. Ooh. But Matt, you yourself are about to go internationally on a mission trip, yes?
Well, yes. By the time this comes out, I am going to be either flying over the ocean or I'm going to be landed safely at Heathrow Airport in London. But I will not be in the States, and I will not be in the States for the next 2 weeks. And then we get back, and then I go to camp.
There you go. Yep. Yep. Now, Matt, and this viewers, I audience, whatever they're called, I apologize because I don't think either Matt and I, for the sake of discipleship, would encourage viewing this program. But it is one of our favorite programs, so I'm going to ask you, have you yet watched the newest episode of the Grand Tour Eurocrash as you're now going to the land of Jeremy Clarkson and Richard Hammond and James May?
You know, I thought about it, and then I forgot.
Can you at least download it on your phone and watch it on the flight?
You better believe I'm going to do that. Actually, I'm going to do that right now.
Let me just tell you, and I won't spoil anything, but Captain Slow stays slow, and I nearly wet myself laughing at it this time. It was hysterical. Mary and I just put in a pool in the backyard for the boys. Not a real pool, you know, a blow-up one. But we put it where it's on our back porch, and our plan literally for this evening, because it's like 110 out here right now, is once the boys go to bed, is to go sit out in the pool and watch. I'll be watching it for the second time. She'll be watching it for the first time.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, like I said, that is not a sponsorship for the Grand Tour. I wouldn't say it's the greatest show for discipleship.
I wouldn't say it's the greatest show for families in general, but man, is it good entertainment.
Matt and I have a very soft spot in our heart for those old British men. So anyway, none of that is what we're going to talk about today, though. Today, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about teaching your kids to pray. So Matt, you feel free, chime in if I'm wrong here, but when we look at spiritual disciplines in teenagers, one of the ones that I think is the most outright shockingly poor is prayer. And to that point, in many youth groups, it is often used as a joke and almost disciplinary measure of when you say, well, who's going to pray? You know, the room gets quiet. This is a common thing. Students are afraid to pray. They don't feel comfortable. And Matt and I, we do recognize that part of this is, you know, for sure the public speaking aspect. Nobody's going to discount that. I think some of our students don't like to speak publicly, but many of them just don't like to pray in general. And so what we want to talk about today is really some best practices for how to walk your students through this and really teach them how to be confident in their prayers, how to understand what prayer is, and for them not to be, as I would call them, Captain or like. Because when I hear students who are really nervous, I hear the word or like a million times. And so, you know, part of what, as we kind of dive into this that I look at, is we first want to remember, of course, the Lord's Prayer. You know, I've heard it many times taught as a as kind of an axiom of prayer and way to go. I'll tell you, I don't necessarily always follow it, and I definitely don't want to push a memorization to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are some general things that we see here that we want to make sure our kids emulate, and that often I think different prayer models like the Acts prayer model follow. And yes. So real quick, I'll read the Lord's Prayer and briefly go over kind of the different parts of it through like an Acts model. So it says this, pray then like this. This is Jesus' words. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So this is Matthew 6, 9 through 13 in the ESV. Mm-hmm. And I think what we see there is pretty simply, we see first an admiration of God. This is our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're holy. Mm-hmm. Then your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then we don't really see a confession from Christ because Christ has nothing to confess. But this is where like traditionally an Acts model leads us into confession. It's talking about those things that we've done that are wrong. Then we get into the thankfulness. And we see that in, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. We're asking for forgiveness. We're being thankful that the Lord's will has come. And then last but not least is supplications, which is as he asked to give us our daily bread and to lead us not into temptation. Yep. I think one of the reasons why, by the way, the Lord's Prayer doesn't necessarily fit a model is because it's a perfect person praying it, mm-hmm. which is why I don't always think it's the best for us to pray. But, you know, one of the main models is, like I said, to teach students to adore, to give adoration to God, to give confession, to give what they are thankful for, and then to give their supplications what they ask.
Right.
But personally, I don't find this to be the basis of my prayer life. But Matt, you tell us what you think on the Lord's Prayer and things like that, and then I'll move to where I think we really start a good basis of a prayer life.
Yeah, I think when we take the aspects that are found in the Lord's Prayer and the Acts model, which the Acts model is mainly taken from Pauline prayers and the different things that he prays for, we see that there is the first thing is an understanding of who God is. And that's found in adoration. A lot of times we start our prayers and it's normally, dear Lord, help, so-and-so with their health or this. Or sometimes it's also, dear Lord, thank you for the food. There's a lot of things like that. But you don't hear too many prayers that start off saying, dear Lord, you are awesome or you are amazing. You've done so many good things. And I think if we get in the habit of starting off our prayers really just kind of recognizing who God truly is, then that brings us into an even better prayer life. And because sometimes we kind of forget who we're talking to. So for instance, Tim and I used to attend a church where there was a certain individual that would interchangeably say Lord and Father during their prayers. Mm-hmm. And being an immature person, I counted, and in one prayer, this individual once said Lord or Father 15 different times. Now, there is a moment where you want to recognize who you're talking to, but if I spent this entire podcast saying, Tim, I'm so glad, Tim, that you, Tim, are here with me, Tim, then most of you would lose attention really quickly. Yeah. It is just like I did with what I was trying to figure out. That's not how we communicate with people. And like Tim said, we want to take the ums and the likes out. We also want to, make sure we know and establish who we're talking to so that the rest of the time it's kind of known. And so there are little ticks that people do in their prayers that once we kind of begin to have a good, solid prayer life, some of those fillers begin to come out and are replaced with more meaningful words.
Yeah. And ultimately, we want students to pray meaningful prayers. And so I think this hits to me really both where my prayer life began in understanding scripture, and then also where I think really teaching begins for us. Mm. It's two verses that really hit me. I was reading them when I was reading through a book on prayer. And the first comes from 1 Thessalonians 5. We've heard it numerous times, but putting it in its context really helped me. Starting verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. There's a reason I read all of that to you. We remember pray without ceasing all the time. But when you put it where it goes, you realize that Paul, as he's writing this, is really giving us a list of things.
Yep.
What I love is that it begins with rejoicing always. See, I often found, and still at times do find, that my prayer life is only out of the hurt and the pain that I really enter into deep prayer. And what I learned and what I see here is that your prayer life should be extending from your rejoicing, which requires us to have an attitude of thankfulness, an attitude of gratefulness at all times. Because then in verse 18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And what I hate is like, it's bad enough the Bible already says it, because then you got to do it. But then to make sure you didn't miss it, it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Yep.
But if you wanted to skirt around and go, well, you know, scriptures, yeah, it says, no, this is the will of God. It's for you to be thankful. And in your thankfulness and in your rejoicing, for you to pray. And then if you want to know why that's important, it's because verse 19, it will, if you are praying always in rejoicing, you will not quench the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
As a youth pastor and as a parent, that's huge, because the last thing I want to do is quench the spirit from my child or from one of my students. And then test everything. Hold fast to what is good. You sit there and you say, how do we do that? Well, you do that by praying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so this is one side. The other set of verses that I want to bring forth is in James 5. James as a book has been instrumental in my life, the gut punch when I needed it, the encouragement when I needed it. But as we look at James 5, starting verse 15, let's start in verse 13, excuse me. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he shall go to the doctor. No, that's not what it says. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the story of Elijah. But the reason I bring these two is kind of for me where prayer started is because I figured out, okay, I got to be rejoicing. I get that. It's not easy, but I'm gonna give that effort. And in my rejoicing, I must be praying. But James 5 lets us know that, hey, if that's who you are and that's what you're doing, then your prayers have power. Your prayers have actual ability to do things for other people, for that which God's will has. And so understanding that, but understanding that, I think the important part of James 5 is that it says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. You know, this is the thing about prayer that I think really hits at parenting. is praying is not just the ritual you do before you go to bed and before you eat, kind of like you said, Matt. It's not the let's make sure we've got God's checklist done. Mm. But prayer is truly an opportunity for you as a parent to connect deeper with your child and ultimately go with them to the throne of God.
Yep.
And once you're at the throne room, the power literally can't stop. Mm. But you've got to get there. And what that requires of you as a parent is it requires you to have a heart of rejoicing.
Yeah.
It requires you to have a heart that admits sin. So when we talk about let's figure out how we can make our students pray better, forgive me, but step one is by you praying better. Mm-hmm. Step one is by you saying, no, 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 my sweet loving child, we're going to pray to God together. See, if we can get ourselves into a spot where when we do, let's say, an Acts model prayer, you know, I've heard numerous guys teach it and pray it, and I can always tell you which ones have the best prayer life, because the Acts model is really easy to see who's being rejoicing and who's being thankful. Mm-hmm. When your Acts model prayers are primarily C and S, then you probably don't have the world's strongest prayer life. Yep. When your Acts model prayers are primarily A and T, you've got it going. Because when I get in front of God and praying, all I can do is be thankful. Of course, I've got a long list of things I've screwed up that I need to let him know. And I've got things that I care about. But what I realize in his presence is that it doesn't need me to say 1,000 things for him to do.
Right.
He just needs me to make sure that I'm in tune with where he wants me at. Mm-hmm. And I think if we as parents show that to our kids, then A, it becomes easier to teach them models of prayer, if you will, because they'll have already seen it modeled. Mm-hmm. And they'll know that, hey, I don't have to stick to the script. If I've seen God move mightily, I just tell him, wow, you've moved mightily.
Right.
I don't have to... I can put my confession first so that I can spend more time praising him. Mm-hmm. I can say, hey, God, this is what I need, but I need to worship you now. But Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, my stepdad has had a rough little spell recently. He's going in when this episode releases tomorrow. But for us right now, he'll go in on Wednesday. And he'll go in for a procedure for a blood clot. But this was supposed to happen last week, but he was also, he got a case of kidney stones all at the same time. And he was in so much suffering and so much pain. And the thing that my mom would text me and my siblings was just be in prayer for him. Number one is because none of us have a medical doctorate degree, so it's not like we could do anything. But there's also that aspect of there's nothing we can do, but there is something that we can. And that's the part a lot of people forget about prayer, is that through suffering, this is when we begin to realize, oh, actually, I can do something. I can be in prayer for someone. And, you know, praise be to God, they went through his kidney stone procedure and got that all cleared out, and he was able to spend Father's Day relaxing. But this week he'll be getting up and getting ready to go to do his blood clot procedure. But again, it's in constant prayer from my family and their Sunday school class and other church members. And it's not this revolutionary thing that a lot of people kind of don't go to. It's just something that we don't think about. And as you know, with when it comes to parenting or any sort of mentorship, leadership role, if prayer isn't one of the first things we do when we come against good times and bad times, then it's going to be very difficult for us to go and talk to our kids and say, oh yeah, prayer's a good thing. You haven't given any reason why. But to your latter point, Tim, you mentioned approaching the throne of God and just, you know, going into that power that God is freely going to give us through the Holy Spirit. And I want to look at Hebrews 4, starting in verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. And boldness is not just going and approaching unbelievers to share the gospel. Boldness is approaching God himself and, you know, presenting your request. It's a deeply spiritual thing that we often use to transition between not eating and eating, or the music and the sermon on Sundays, or really anything. Prayer is much more than that. And when we show our kids, hey, this is a good thing we need to do, and you actually demonstrate that, what does that tell your kids about God? And the same thing when you do that with other people around you. I mean, Tim, you remember D-Now, what was it, 2015, 2016, when we were at McDonald's?
Yes.
So we prayed over McDonald's, and there was a little family sitting beside us, and they asked a simple question that was just kind of like boggled my mind. And it was like, why would you pray over McDonald's? And in my mind, I was like, why wouldn't I pray over McDonald's?
Yeah, I mean, we were asking the Lord to do a lot more, letting that food be healthy to us than, mm-hmm. you know, normal food. But yeah.
Yep. But that's the kind of example you set, is when you pray over everything, even the simple things, then you begin to have a lifestyle of prayer, which goes back to 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing, pray continually, even for the small insignificant things of, thank you, Lord, for this close parking spot in Walmart, or thank you, Lord, for this $5 bill, or just anything. There is a sermon I was listening to by Alistair Begg a couple years back, and I'll never forget it. He was talking about prayer, and he mentioned how he will go up and down the grocery aisle when he goes shopping, and he'll pray a prayer of thanks for the people who packaged the bread at the bread factory, because that's not something he wanted to do. And he was very thankful for the work that they did. And it might be a silly example, but that's a revolutionary way to pray for a lot of people, is they don't think about praying about the small things. And this is what Scripture is saying, that no matter what it is, we can have boldness to approach God if we have been saved by Jesus' death and resurrection and have been changed by the Holy Spirit. Then we have the boldness to approach God with anything, because Scripture also talks about if we are not found in Christ, God will not hear our prayers. And that's something we also need to teach our kids, that prayer is not something that anyone can do. It is a deeply spiritual thing that only believers can do, because no one else has that communication with God, because it was broken when Adam and Eve first sinned. And so there needs to be that relationship reestablished and reconciled for us to do this. And because that has happened to those who are believers, that is why we can have the boldness to approach God about prayer for anything, in even the small things.
Yeah. And so I think ultimately where this gets us down to is as we as parents say, okay, I get all that. I've got to pray better. I've got to show them. But how do I walk them through? Where do we get there? I think the first thing that we do is honestly, is I think we go change what Matt just talked about as kind of the times that are losses into wins. You know, and I get we can't do this every time, but for instance, when you go to eat, what if you just prayed a meaningful prayer there? You know, what if it wasn't, you know, dear Lord, thank you for this food. I hope it's very, very good. Like, and yes, that is a prayer that I might have heard a time or two. But like, what if you just prayed something meaningful there?
Mm-hmm.
What if when you go walk with your kids to bed and you go put them in and you say, hey, let's pray for something and let's pray meaningfully. So I think we win those. And then, yeah, secondly, is we ask them to pray. And one of the biggest things that I can encourage you just from a practical perspective is when you ask your kids to pray, make them pray it out loud. And we don't want to have a Monday morning quarterback session on kids' prayers, but we want to encourage. And at times we want to ask, hey, what if next time you pray, you ask God this, or you say this about God?
Right.
And then remind them the next time. We don't want to sit here and go, oh, hey, that was terrible. That's not helpful to anyone. But we can say things like, hey, that was really great. Maybe next time, let's think of three things that we can see that God did this year that we really, really appreciated.
Yep.
Or that God did today that we really, really appreciated. You know, giving those little baby steps puts them in position to then ultimately be able to do and say the quote-unquote correct prayers, to say the prayers that we expect them to. Mm-hmm. But that's what I've got. Matt, what do you have as any final thoughts?
Really, final thought is you pretty much will have to do what Jesus did, and you have to model prayer. I mean, that's what it is. It's not anything spectacular. It's not anything that's just like, you know, you got to climb a mountain, go talk to the great sage that's up there. You only get three questions to ask. But it's what you do when you pray, if you're not a good prayer, then pray more. Work on it. When we get to the resource here in a second, I've got one that will be helpful to you. It'll help you to not only pray better, but also read your Bible better. It has been a good resource for me. It's been a good resource for my intern, who is also struggling with health issues with his father. And it's been something that has helped me realize that I don't have to think of these amazing prayers if they're already written down somewhere. So work on your prayer, but that means you need to pray more often than you normally would. So yeah.
Yeah. The resource that I have, cause I'll go to resources now, is the book entitled Praying the Bible by Donald Whitney.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's easy. It's an easy read. Like, I mean, and maybe I'm a quick reader, but I literally read it on a plane ride from Houston to Midland, which is about an hour and 20 minute flight.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, easy read, deeply practical, and I would argue is equally as much of a prayer book as it is also probably a Bible study book.
Yes.
You're going to get to double dip there. But yeah, it's fantastic. It lets you kind of walks you through how to pray through the Bible. Yeah, it's classic. It's just an easy book to read and fairly cheap as well. So
yeah, it's about $7 on Amazon, if I remember correctly. I'll throw that out if I'm wrong. But
it was $6.99 on Christian Books, so you're good.
That's what I'm talking about. It's a short book. It's a quick read, but it's also a book you can go back to. But yep. It helps you look at Scripture in a different way, to where you can look at the book of Psalms as not songs, but as prayers. And you can look at what Paul talks about as a prayer. And you can see this is what, if he says, hey, this is something you need to have, you can pray along with him, say, Lord, give me this. It's a fantastic resource. I love it to death. And I would definitely be in a much different place if I did not read that book. So that is the resource when it comes to prayer.
Did I match your resource?
Of course you did.
Oh man, we hadn't even talked about it. I'm sorry. Yep. I would have given you clearance on it. Well, yeah, clearly both of our minds, as brilliant or dull as they may be, came to the same resource. So
there are plenty of other books on prayer, but that is the most concise and just straight to the point.
Yep. So, well then, Matt, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
Pray for me.
For sure. So Matt, well then the next time that we talk on this podcast, you will be technically you'll be in England, but I think our viewers will understand that we've pre-recorded that episode. But next time we talk live, you will be back from England. So go enjoy some tea and whatever they called English muffins over there, or fish and chips, whatever it is. Otherwise, that's all the time that we have for today. So until next week, auf Wiedersehen.
All right. Bye, everybody.